Welcome to episode number 5 of Ordinary Christians. And who is on the, who are we?
Hey, Ron Sitlau.
I'm Derek Bukema.
Bob Bauer. And today's topic is ethics and economy and the quarantine. The topic today is ethics and the quarantine for the ordinary Christian. And I'll be honest with you, I'll set you up, Ron. I woke up and was looking at Ron, your post, and it was on an article from the newspaper. I forgot if it was Washington Journal, New York Times. What was it, Ron?
I think it was AP News.
Okay, AP News. That's right. Okay, AP News. And I was like, wow, that's an interesting conversation. It's about how the quarantine is affecting the economy and also really world poverty and hunger. Ron, can I tee you up a little bit? Tell us what went on your soul.
Sure. You know, one of the conversations we're having is, when is it safe to open up life again? When can we, when is it good to enter back into society? And so one of the things that we're thinking about in the United States are, you know, how do we protect the most lives and, you know, and safely open up the economy? And what I've been thinking about is, you know, the longer we stay in this quarantine or this shutdown, the longer that the world will suffer. The world economy is based upon the United States economy. We are the kind of foundational piece. And if this piece were to crumble or not restart, all the gains we have made around poverty and ending world hunger and famines and disease, we're at the most peaceful place the world has ever been. And a lot of that has to do with economic security. And that is at threat right now. And it's at threat in the United States, but more broadly in places like India, continent of Africa. And it's scary for people. And we ought to think about that.
Ron, I think that is very helpful. And I think that in terms of framing it, I think that so often the framing about talking about reopening the economy is totally unfair. People talk about how they're like, oh, you want people to die so that rich bankers can pad their wealth, right? But this isn't the discussion in any way, shape, or form. The question is, all right, everyone has agreed that we needed to take a strategic retreat to figure out how it is to combat the coronavirus. But one of the things that we need to wrestle with is that the longer we stay in quarantine, the more people will die from starvation because of a stop of the global economy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, when we talk about the economy, everyone keeps talking about the rich, but that's not what the economy is. The economy is the means by which we live our life. It's just, it exists whether or not you want to put a name on it. It's, you know, how do you get your necessities? How do you enjoy your life? How do you, you know, express your vocation? Those are all economic realities. And it not working is a really big deal. And it is as dangerous or more so than this virus, in my opinion.
And I think there's layers to this. So I'll give you another story. So this morning I'm on a campus pastor's meeting on Zoom, and one of the pastors said that a husband, wife who both worked full-time, both were lost their jobs this week, both of them. So the first layer is this couple have lost double full-time income as of right now. And that's a whole layer of chaos, fears, anxieties. They have 3 children in America. But we also have an infrastructure of a government that's going to help out, it sounds like. We have a church family that's there to help out. We have pantries and whatnot. And then the next layer is, if this continues, yes, that'll multiply in America. But then you go to what Ron said, to India, to the continent of Africa, and all of a sudden you don't have the infrastructure and you don't have churches that have family markets and a food supply that the chain is way less of help. And that the tension of the economy is, at what point should we stop quarantine to get the engine of small business and people in America, who are the most benevolent people on planet Earth, all the non-for-profits around the world will agree, will say America is the most benevolent, believer and non-believer are benevolent in America. But you know that if we don't jumpstart our economy in the near future, charity giving is going to go way down. Clean water will go down. Food chain will go down. Does that make sense? That's why it's a big deal.
So Ron, I feel like you're the person that understands this the most. I mean, help me to think through.
Man, he just slammed me again.
Thank you, Derek. That's my
good thing. My self-esteem is in the Lord.
Bob, you're the one that knows the most about everything else.
Whatever. Okay, sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead, Derek.
Ron, help us to think through like how an ordinary Christian thinks through this, because it seems to me that an ordinary Christian should not be of the mindset that we just lock down and completely destroy the world economy over the course of 18 months or something like that, which is what some people are saying, that we should be locked down for 18 months. But an ordinary Christian should also not be in the place where they say, well, you know, the vulnerable don't matter. So help an ordinary Christian think through all of this. Where should we stand?
Yeah, I think that it's a deeply complicated ethical issue. That was my whole point. I wrote something about it earlier. And what I wanted to do, and everyone got so upset about it, is the health of our economy is a moral good because God in his providence has allowed it to bring great good in our world. Now, it's not the kingdom of God and God will usurp it with his own kingdom, but for now, it is a moral good. And it's also a moral good to protect the vulnerable among us. And so what we must do is to know that is the conversation, and that if we stay shut down forever, you have to think about the moral possibilities. For example, this is the easiest one to think about. You know, after World War I, Germany was, you know, they were heavily penalized for what they did during the war in the Treaty of Versailles. They had huge inflation, great poverty. This very proud people were crushed. And what rose out of that, really, their little depression? Well, it was extremism, right? Fascism. And, you know, that's that you might think that's over the top. But in this world, we're much more fragile than we think. And extremism is just right beneath the surface. And this is the kind of conditions in which that rises up. And then that would be a great evil, right? And so we can't just think about right now. You know, when we think about ethics, we must think right now. If my neighbor's before me, I should protect him. And I think, you know, doing this for the next, the president's 30, 45 days is appropriate. But at some point, we have to say we have to move forward at whatever risk for the good of the world.
And for the sake of the vulnerable, for the sake of the poor and the disenfranchised. Yeah. Who will be the most impacted by this sort of thing?
Well, I mean, story time. A friend of mine's a doctor, and he said where he's at in the Midwest, the only thing they can do in their hospitals and their clinics is address the virus. And it is literally crumbling these clinics and these hospitals economically. Can you imagine if this keeps going on? They will go bankrupt. A hospital and clinic go bankrupt because the normal flow of colds and flus and, you know, joint shots and replacements of our knees and elbows and shoulders has all been frozen, literally.
Yeah, I just want to, you can keep going, but I read an article last week where doctors, emergency room doctors, are getting their pay cut because the hospitals don't have the flow of cash to pay them. Like, in what world is that okay, you know?
Right. And that's why, Ron, I feel bad because I saw some of the lambasting of you, and because you stated this last week saying there is a moral good to get the economy going. Now, the answer of timing, that is going to be, you know, that is a real interesting decision that the government's going to have to make. When do you kickstart this? Because once you kickstart it, it doesn't mean people are going to run back to, for sure, cruise ships.
Do you want to go on a cruise, Derek?
Yeah.
Baseball
stadiums.
You know,
baseball stadiums, football. Yeah.
Cruise.
I'm going to
think
Wuhan.
About it.
There's a
you realize how slow that rebuild of the economy is going to be for all theaters and any place where huge gathered crowds are, including the church. Yeah. Derek, go ahead.
I think that I also have kind of followed some of the comments that have been posted when, Ron, you've made the claim that the economy is a moral good and that caring for the vulnerable by making sure that we don't indefinitely shut down the economy. The way that some people respond is, I think, inappropriate. And I think that ordinary Christians need to reject easy sloganeering of the sort that we hear from so many political leaders. Like, yeah. One political leader recently said, if we can save one life, then, you know, destroying the economy is worth it. And that's not true. It's not worth prolonging briefly one life at the expense of destroying every other life. And right. That is not something that a Christian should look at and say is good. And that kind of easy sloganeering should be rejected, I think, by an ordinary Christian.
I'll say something now that will probably, I totally have done everything the government has asked of me, and I have told everyone they should. But my guess is that the rate of infection in the United States is, some of the guesstimates are around 10 times greater than what we know. So for every case, there's 9 other cases. So assuming that's true, or to some degree true, that means that the mortality rate is exponentially lower than what we think it is. And the question is at what point is this like the flu? And that is, we have to know, right? We have to do the testing to know. But, you know, we could do this with anything. We could, every flu case that goes into the hospital, we could film the person getting, you know, their medicine. And I'm not saying it's not a serious thing. It is a serious thing. But we don't actually know all the ins and outs ethically of what's going on. And so just to say, you know, exactly, Governor Pritzker is the one who said, you know, one life, I'll do it for one life. It's like, you'll do what? You know, how many lives are you willing to destroy for the, you know, imaginary life? And that has a 99.2% chance of surviving anyway.
Well, so, that's, I mean, hey, I'm going to point him out. The same governor who is so against the life of a baby in a womb as a choice.
Churches are shut down, but you can go get an abortion. So
yeah, and all the way to the end. I mean, that's a whole other ethical issue. But it just, again, that's a political statement that he was making that made him sound so wonderful. I'll save one life, not knowing the destruction that would be done if we kept on this economy path of nothing.
That makes me so angry that, you know, when the baby died in Illinois, he and the health director up there, she was crying. It's like, you are liars in the sense of, I mean, whether you're Democrat or Republican, don't weep after that little baby when hundreds of thousands of babies are being killed in our state. The most progressive abortion laws in the United States. You don't get the right to cry, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's so sad. Yeah, so what does an ordinary Christian do? I think we should add to our prayer list the economy and pray for the wisdom of the decision of when is the go day? When do you lift the quarantine? And, you know, I heard yesterday that it could be coming relatively soon, which would be great. And that they're saying to restaurateurs and that, like, think about allowing half of your restaurant to be full, and that would be capacity. I just love that thinking to say, you know, that we can get going, start multiplying again, some economy and jumping it.
Yeah, I agree. I've been praying for that, and wisdom for President Trump and Congress and Governor Pritzker, all those who have authority. They need the wisdom of the Lord, and they need the kindness and the favor of the Lord. And I just think that, you know, it's going to be a new world when it first opens up. And I, you know, one of the things that I think about is, you know, there's a good chance, according to some of the things that I've been reading, that there won't be large crowds right away. There might still be a limit up to 50 people. And it becomes very interesting for the church to think about that. If that's something that happens into May and June, how we interact with that. But I just think that we need to pray, and we need to not get overwhelmed by fear of losing our job, fear of losing finances. We're going to be okay. The Lord has us. And those aren't the most important things in your life. It's your kids, your spouse, your friends, the gospel, Jesus. And so praise the Lord that this disease can't touch that.
I've got a question for you guys as it relates to all of that. So, you know, there's more to life and there's more to existence than just the continued existence, right, of a few. And so I think that, you know, we as Christians need to realize that we have to have the concern of the common good at heart, and that involves seeking to prolong life, but it also involves people being able to eat and people being able to live and engage in social activity, these sorts of things, that this is all a part of the common good. My question is this, like, one of the things that has seemed to be the case is that there, tell me if you've discerned the same sort of thing, that one of the things that seems to be driving some of the quarantine thinking in the part of some secular segments of the population is almost a slavish desire to prolong life at any cost, even if it is a life that is quarantined and isolated and completely alone. And the prolonging of that should take place at any cost. I wonder if this itself may be a fruit of secularism itself, that the great good for an individual would be prolonging my life because this is all that there is. And that if I believe that this life is all that there is, I'm going to be slavishly committed to doing whatever I can to prolonging it, even at the expense of the poor and vulnerable.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I totally, I agree. And I take it one step further is that, you know, I think Dr. Birx is, she's very wise, the one heading up this task force in the United States. And I expect that she's trying to do what is best. And, you know, she is someone who knows her stuff. But if this were to continue into May, the other thing that's very secular would be this idea that our government can parent us and take care of us and is, you know, the final stop. And that's not an American idea. That's not a Christian idea. And it's a very dangerous idea, right? Because, you know, now you can go on Google and they're tracing everyone, you know, it's anonymous data, but I can tell you how many people were at the park last week in Cook County. That's weird. It's a little weird. And, you know, they're talking about ways of marking people who are infected, not infected. That's a little weird. We're all locked up in our houses. Like, how long can we do that? That's a little weird. And they're sending us checks for doing nothing. It's a little weird. And so as you think about this played out, you can't do this much more than April, maybe into May, before the cost becomes much higher than the good.
Yeah. And I think, Derek, too, the question that you asked, there is, for me, that popped in my mind is our good old Reformed theology of general and special revelation, that we have an obligation to general revelation for the good of humankind in the world. And the special revelation to Christians is that we are willing to lay down our lives for the sake of the kingdom, the cause of Christ. And that is different. We can't ask the general world to do this, but as Christians, it's going to be crunch time, that if there's an economy, spiritual economy, that we're called to. We care for the poor and to be the place where people can be fed, whether it's here or around the world.
Hallelujah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see,
like, if I have a deep passion right now, it is this idea that the church is enfleshed. We're the embodied people. And this quarantine is going to end, but the virus is going to be here until the vaccine. There's going to be outbreaks. It's going to be a very different world. And the church, we cannot shrink back into our bubbles of safety, trying to preserve everything that we have as if they're the most important thing. And, you know, to Derek's point of, you know, safety at all costs or the prolonging of life at all costs, that is not a Christian perspective. Now, we ought to be wise. We ought to, you know, obey as the government. And, you know, we don't want to be disease spreaders. But we also, when our neighbor's in front of us, we have to serve our neighbor. And this next season, for however long it is, it's going to be the church serving its neighbor for the glory and fame of Jesus. And this is our chance to be faithful and to step up. And I think we're going to do it. I think God is doing a great thing in the American church.
Well, guys, the economy of time is wrapping up. So again, as ordinary Christians, God has called us to be stewards and to be the ones he has given us this earth, to be dominion over the earth, to see and to hear God's word and to live it out in the best we can in economy. And thanks, guys, for your great input. And Lord willing, he'll be glorified in the church. The ordinary Christian will be edified. Thanks.
Bless you guys.
Bless you guys.